Thank you, Phil. Good morning, church.
Good morning, Jimmy.
I know you can't hear me very well. I take off my mask and good morning, church. Good morning to those people who are watching us on screen. As we look at this this story, it looks simple, but there are two parts to it. But you can't really separate the parts. This morning we come to 18 verses of John, and I want to welcome you. We survived a series, and then we came to our next batch of John series. So for the next 2 months, we will be going probably two chapters and then go through the Gospel of John. And for those of you who have, I got quite a few people who responded, and then when am I coming back to John series? And now we are coming back to John series. And there are people who said that, oh, I like that Bad Boss series. Can we have more of those? So we try to... As a pastor, I think I see myself as a parent. Sometimes I bring my family to restaurants. Sometimes we do home-cooked meal. As I can see from this, what I think from this John series is a home-cooked meal. So we've been through 6 weeks of restaurant meal or eat out. Sometimes eat out is not healthy. But our eat out is always healthy. But it's another different kind of healthy. So we come back today for the Gospel of John for the next 2 months. I hope that you can read ahead. And it's a very exciting book to read. And it's all about belief. Everywhere you read is belief. Today's miracle, today's scripture is also about belief. Now, the last time we finished, last year we finished four chapters. And the last one was the second miracle of John, of what John has said, and Sue was the one who delivered the message about this healing of a royal official son. At the end of the day, what the miracle was trying to reveal is that only Jesus saved. So no man-made rule or law or works can save you, but only Jesus saved. Only our faith in Jesus alone saved. That's what saved the official son. Because of the official had faith in Jesus. And Jesus said, you believe even before I go there? Yes, I do believe. And that's a kind of belief. Now today we're going to see a different kind of belief. It's still a belief. But what was our... First of all, I need to make sure that we are on the same page. The belief that we are talking about, the faith in Jesus alone talk about, based on two things. It's based on our trust in Jesus. Our trust in Jesus is what? I can trust Jimmy, I can trust Jeremy, I can trust Charlotte. Not that kind of trust. When we talk about trust, we trust Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah, He is the Savior, and He is the God. Can you believe that? All right, that is the first criteria of our faith. The second criteria is that you believe, you not just believe, but believing. That means it's an ongoing, that you keep believing no matter what, of everything is God's work, everything Jesus does, everything that He says is the priority, is the authority, and He is the exact replica of God, and He is God. So it still draw back to this. You believe in our faith in Jesus that He is God, and whatever He does is always right. All right? Sounds familiar. When we talk about our wife, you know, so whatever my wife says is always right. You never go wrong with that. Now, today we come to another miracle, another healing session. Now, it's not just about healing, but if you put the two together, the last one was healing, this one was also healing, but there's a difference to it. It all reveals the same common thing. I give you a table to see the two differences between these two miracles. One was a royal official and one was probably a Jew. He's a sick man. The Bible says he's a sick. Now remember this. Remember, the Bible never mentioned what he was sick of. He just mentioned an invalid man. That's a very different scenario. So John allowed us to put in some imagination. All right? With the question that it was given to us, later on we will talk about that. But we see the two of them have some similarity, but one very important similarity is The common thing that they have is that they both receive the grace of God. Amen? God came and gave grace. That is the whole purpose of John. John was written so that we may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing in his name, believing continuous in his name, you may receive eternal life. You may be saved. So right from the beginning, John explained that. The Word became flesh, that's Jesus. Living as God come to flesh, live in human flesh. In human flesh. Just like just now, standing next to each other, I was standing so close to Amelia. Woo! You know, imagine Jesus is standing next to you, patting you on the shoulder, having lunch together, having barbecue in our blokes. Fun night, you know. Full of grace and full of truth. Where are you going to get it? How good are you going to get it? You can't get it on anywhere. Now, first four chapters, last year we cover Jesus revealed himself to the Jew that he's the promised Messiah. You better believe it. All right? And he called those people to follow him. And now we come to chapter 5, which is quite a bit dramatic. And you're going to see from a change from now. And it's a very upsetting moment for me personally. You know, when we enter, the first four chapters was a joy. But when you come to chapter 5, it's a very, very sad situation. Because you see the leaders, people that God called my people, show that kind of nasty, contagious, growing, ongoing, hostile to Jesus, to his ministry. They even reject what he claims to be. It's a very sad thing. So today we're going to see that. Going to happen. That's why you cannot share this scripture, share this by just using the first seven verses, because that will only reveal God's grace but not what's after. I think that's not fair to you if I share only half of it. And I think if I split it up into two parts, you're going to miss out something. So I'm going to try my best to concise everything in the next 15 minutes. Hopefully it can get by. But if I go overboard, as I usually does, bear with me and forgive me. I know you have grace, right? Alright, so what happens that from the beginning, from the start, it gives us the location. The location is by the Sheep Gate, the north of Jerusalem. Sheep Gate by a pool called Bethesda. I'm the same as Phil right now, you know. But Bethesda. Well, it's not my thing. All right, as you can see, my look, I can't speak English real well. But anyway, what he's trying to say here is that a great number of the patients, sick people, packed that place. To me, from when I look at it, oh, I said this is a great place to do business. Don't you think? All right. You see, whenever there's people, there's business. Alright? If you go to any hospital, there will be cash. There will be provision shop for you to buy stuff. When you say that, oh, it's convenient shop for the patients, but that's business. Alright? But a great number is there. But you also say that there's an invalid person. Invalid, what it means is that you're no importance. You're nothing. You're garbage. You're dust. You're the rubbish that throw it out. Invalid. Some people come up to you and say, you are invalid to me. That's a very, very tough word. Now, later on, we're going to see why invalid. Invalid means that there's certain things that you are not including. You're not inclusive. All right? About. Now, in this location, Jesus come to this location for a feast, as we see from the kid stuff. He come here and saw this man. He lay his eye on this sick person. I don't know why there are so many sick person there. Why you lay an eye on this person? And he asked a question that I think when I first read it, I felt that, wow, what a dumb question to ask. All right, it's just like you go to the hospital and look at a patient a bit. Do you want to get well? You don't see any doctor go to any of the patient, or even when I go to my GP, my GP will always say, "How are you, Jimmy?" But not, "Do you want to get well?" That's a horrible question to ask. But when I look at it, when I think about it, this is a question of our life. It's a question that every single one of us have to ask, including this sick person, like I said, I mentioned earlier. Jesus, the Bible never mentioned what sort of sickness he has. So John actually, I think he probably deliberately leave out his sickness and allow us to imagine, reader to imagine how much grace God is showing. He's trying to be inclusive with this question, with every single soul, that we should ask this question. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Because there's a truth, a side of this question, is that not many people, there are some people who doesn't want to get well. Some people are sick, but it became their identity. After a long year, especially 38 years, you're sick, you're angry, you're feeling lonely, you're feeling ashamed. All these are sickness. Your disbelief in Jesus are sickness. So Jesus is asking the question to everyone. Do you want to get well? But unfortunately, some people, just maybe, they know they are sick, but they're just saying, "Oh, I'm sick." They want people to show condolences. Some people to show pity. They want to receive handouts. Why I say handouts? Have you ever come across homeless people actually choose to be homeless? Do you feel that homeless is actually a sad thing? Oh, many people in the audience, not. I tell you, not really. The background that I come from, I came from Singapore. I've been to China. And I also went to Europe. Now, one commonality is that I see rich people among the homeless. Have you ever seen that before? I give you an illustration. Many years ago, it's a true story though. In Singapore, while I was still a police officer, it came out on the news. There was a beggar that's begging. Now, in Singapore, the law was, it's illegal for you to beg for money. It's illegal. It's a legislation. It's federal. It's nationwide. If you see any beggar, next time you tour, go to Singapore for a trip, if you see a beggar on the street, call the police. They will arrest him, not put him in jail, put him in a home. So that is, they make it a law to make Singapore a beggarless place, a home, a place with no one homeless. All right, that was the objective of the country. And they did it very well. But yet, some people see that as an opportunity. So a man was actually begging in those shops. Some people have that compassion, so they give money to him. But one day, someone spotted him. He was walking like maybe 50 minutes away from that marketplace. And then he hopped into a car, a 500S Mercedes. And then he drove home. And people follow him. And come to this probably a multi-million dollar mansion that he lives in. And he was exposed. You see, people like this exploit. Is he sick? Yes, he is sick. He's sick in another way. Jesus will ask him, "Do you want to get well?" Same deal. So there are people out there. That's why Jesus had to ask this question to this person. He learned about his condition. He knew that he had been there for 38 years. He did some research. He asked this question, "Do you want to get well?" Because you have been there for too long. I don't know whether you still want to get out of this. Do you still want to get out? Or you're comfortable staying here every time, say, please help me. But actually, you don't. All right? Because for some people, to get well means that you are traveling into a new zone. Means that you have to stop getting your handouts. It means that you are on your own. You need to look for a job. You no longer can sit there as an invalid to collect handouts. So there are people like this. All right? And I went to Europe at the age of 20. I was sponsored by someone. And I come across a young couple in the subway. I said, "Oh, that's a poor thing." My concept is such a young people. Why are you in the subway? You know, at this time. And rugged, they're holding each other. And then I asked them, I talked to them, I said, hey, you're so young, why do you look for a job? Oh, sorry, we are professional. One is a lawyer, one is a doctor. And both of them, they said, we decided to lay off our work, get off our work for the next few years, try to live a romantic life in the subway. Hey, tell me about, do you want to get well? I think Jesus will go to them and give them a slap, not ask them, do you want to get well? You get out. You know? There are people like this. They want to have a taste. I live in a wealthy world. I just want to live in, try out what is poverty look like. There are people like this. I bet there are people in Australia like this. Many people around us. Now, but the thing that this sick person, so-called invalid person, came about was that he proceeded and said, sir, I have no one to help me. Now, I just want you to focus here. What he responded, like, most people think that, okay, he was probably sitting there for too long and asking for an excuse. I don't think so. What I think is that the key here is that while I am trying to get in, so it tells me that he has been trying for 38 years. I see a side of him that he has been perseverance, his consistency. 38 years, day after day. If he's a lame, if he's a cripple, if he can't walk, probably people carry day after day to that place. But his persistency, his perseverance, waiting and keep trying to get well, want people to help him. I really want people to help him. That's why when Jesus says, do you want to get well? He has something that he's searching in him for a long, long time. He has not found it. And today someone come to him, maybe it was, I don't know what's going through his mind. Maybe it was Jesus' voice that's so gentle, or maybe it's like, yeah, do you want to get well? That kind of authority that goes through his vein, his bone. And he said, I've been trying. I want to get well. Yes, but no one is helping me. And what's next coming up? Finally, Jesus said something. Jesus did not give him a vaccine, did not give him a mask, and say, you got to be isolated for the next 14 days, or close down the boundary for him. But Jesus said something. Something that each and every one of us, if you want to get well, you need to ask yourself, you need to talk to yourself, you need to say to yourself, and if like this today, God is asking you the same thing and talking to you as if like you are the invalid person today. I am the invalid person today. Get up, pick up your mat and walk. Now there is a very powerful message on here. That's why I say, you know, if we want to go through these 18 verses really, really verse by verse, it's going to take us a long time. All right? I just heard that somebody preached on 7 verses for 7 years. And I think you're going to get bored with me. I think the board is going to fire me if I do that. But anyway, you know, so he said, get up. Jesus didn't say anything special anymore. Jesus heard what he said. I've been trying for 38 years. And Jesus had that comment, okay, since you've been trying, get up. Now that's the kind of attitude that we should have. If you are ready, if you are looking and searching for something and want to get well, you really want to get well, this applies to you. Get up, pick up your mat and walk. And you see this person, he walked. He picked up his mat and walked. What go on with his mind? He didn't prepare. He said, oh, I got let me wait for I'm not sure. Let me wait. Let me train myself, have enough faith so that I can move forward, so that I can walk, I have enough strength. No, he I don't know what, like I said, I don't know what go through his mind. But the powerful thing is that when Jesus said this thing, at once the man was cured. He picked up the mat and go. You see, Jesus did not ask him and say, hey, pick up, hey, get up and go, get up and walk, right? Jesus added and said, get up, pick up your mat and walk. You know what's the difference? Why pick up the mat? What would you do? If Jesus asked me to get up, I get up and go. Why bother to pick it up? Let the rubbish person do it. Yeah, I pay for my tax. I'm a taxpayer. I'm entitled to this. It's not about littering the place. But there's a meaning there. Jesus wants him to pick up the net so that he leaves no provision for relapse. He has been sitting in that same net for 38 years. It becomes something that he holds on to so tight. So precious to me. Everywhere I go, I carry with me. Yeah? How can you let something like this go? Just a few weeks ago, when I tried to get my family to clean up certain areas in our place, they start packing, they start unpacking, they start packing and unpacking. And I saw them thinking of taking a long time to decide whether should I throw away this. There are some of the stuff that they throw away. I pick it up because I feel, oh, this is good. I want this. That's why, this man has the same issue. Jesus has to say, you pick up your mat and go and walk. That means that leave no provision, don't come back again. Don't come back to this. All right? You realize this in verse 14, Jesus said the same thing. You know, said the same thing to him. Jesus wants him to burn the bridge. Move forward, burn the bridge behind you. There's some bridge that are meant to be burned. If you don't burn it, you go back to there. I know of one young woman many, many years ago. She was a drug addict. I know her quite, she was quite close to me. I know her very well. She started taking drugs at the age of 14. And been through rehab and been in prison for at least 8 times in her life. Every time she go in, she go into prison for 3 years. That's the minimum of 3 years. So every time she go in for 3 years, imagine how many years of her life she's in prison. And later on, in her prison life, she came to know the Lord. But every time she was released, she go back. Drug. Then she got caught and go back again. And every time I visited her, she said, I don't mean it. From what I can tell from her face, her expression, my understanding, she really had the pain. She was broken. She don't know what to do. When she was released from prison, nobody helped her. Just like this 38 years of sick person. No one helped me. I'm alone. It's a very sad thing to see. She, even though she came to the Lord, I honestly, I did whatever I can to help her. But she keep on relapse. Why? Because there's no help. She tried to help herself, but she's not able to. So she always go back to the same old friend. Relapse. She did not pick up that mat. Burn the bridge. And move forward. I don't know how I can say that, because she's in this position, not me. At the end of her life, she died in prison. But last few days of her life, I had the opportunity to speak to her, a chat with her. And she shared something very intimate. She said, Jimmy, in the past year, I have not sinned. Amen! Hallelujah! I praise the Lord for that. That's what Jesus tells the same thing to this same person, the person who is very sick for 38 years. Now you're well. Sin no more. That's what for carrying a mat. So church, you get up, you take your mat, and walk. Don't leave anything behind. And burn it all. And move forward. So then we come to the next stage. Now we got there, these miracles happen. You see the picture of that miracle. And you come to a state whereby, wow, this is the highlight of the whole purpose of this miracle. Jesus came. There are three reactions to this. We are talking about Sabbath. All right, Sabbath is a kind of, is a day, is a dog, is a command. It's what God has given to us. All right, say want us to find a day in the next. Today we no longer celebrate that Sabbath in the same way, but God, what God is trying to say, you need to have at least one day of rest during your 6 week. All right, so that one day of rest is for you to find rest. It's for you to break away from your routine and come that day to rest in the sense whereby you're physically, spiritually, and mentally well. So it's supposed to be that. But we see that from the scripture itself, the scripture, the Jews came, and the man who had healed, but they got agitated. Why? Because they felt that he broke the law. The law said that you're not supposed to work on Sabbath day. You're not supposed to work there. But they came. They misunderstood. They sort of like interpret as maybe 39 more ways of breaking that, violating this law. So that's why I make it a law, so that if it's on the checklist, you broke the law. But that's not what God meant. You see, this person, the reason that he went to this leader the moment he was healed was because that was the custom. Okay? He was doing everything right. On Sabbath day, I was healed. I went to the priest and tell them, say, I'm healed. Check. So that is the law. They're supposed to do that. Why did he do that? He did that because he was well. He wanted to worship God. I have not been in the temple for the last 38 years. And you guys call me invalid and refuse to let me in because I'm invalid, because I was sick. Now I'm well. I'm entitled to my worship. Amen? When you are sick, Jesus heal you. And Jesus, after healing, the obvious thing is to worship. But not for these leaders. These leaders just want to know. You pick up the mat. That's wrong. I don't care you're sick, healed. I don't care you do the right thing. But according to my checklist, you are wrong. You see, there are people like this. Those are religious legalists. Don't you hate these type of people? You know? Over my ministry years, I hear so many people, especially young people, will come to me. I hate coming to church. Why? Because I come into a place where, why would I want to put myself in a set of rules? That tells me something. We do have that kind of people in church today. Not just 2,000 years ago. This resembles, it allows us to make us think. So because of this, and Jesus, he did something on Sabbath. He healed. But that's the compassion of God. He was doing exactly what the Lord wants. So Sabbath day is a day for us to rejuvenate. It's a day for us to serve the Lord. Alright? It's not for us a day to go and watch our footy. Many years ago, before I have had my children, I really made up my mind. I said, Lord, help me. I will not allow my children to have tuition on Sunday, or study on Sunday, or work on Sunday. If I need to work, make sure that I have, me and my family, will serve you first. And God grant me that wish. Up until this day, my children will not study for their test on Sunday, because they've already done it by Saturday. We train them. I hope that is an encouragement for you. Next time when you train Amelia, alright? Train them to set aside that day, because that's what the Bible has taught us. Set us set apart from everything else for God. And God will bless you, and you will see that blessing coming true. Yeah? And then the final part, we see this commandment. And the final part when we come is a very important part of this healing process. Now, this healing process, we see that the Jews is trying to that hostile gets so contagious, and God's so nasty, and then you just, oh man, if I'm there with Jesus, I'll be like Peter. I would take off my like chainsaw or something, and they're going to chain you alive, you know. They want to persecute Jesus the moment they know that Jesus was the one who did that. Why? Remember that the kids space just now we show you, it remind us about back in chapter 2, what happened? Jesus turn over the table in the temple, right? That caused them business. It's their business area. And it caused them to lose profit. So they, ever since that time, they have been plotting, trying to plot against Jesus. Now is the opportunity. They finally found one. He broke the Sabbath. We're going to kill him. And that's not all. When they said that they want to persecute Jesus, and what did Jesus respond? Jesus responded, my Father is always at work, every day, till this day. Me too. I do the same work. Wow, this has go over the boiling point. Because he's calling himself God, he's calling equal to God, he's calling God his own Father. Nobody does that. So the Jew was so angry and used this as excuse, and these ladies and gentlemen my brothers and sisters, this is the beginning of an end. This is the beginning. In the next 18 to 20 months, Jesus is going to die on the cross. In the next 2 months, we're going to celebrate Easter. That's the meaning of this. And church, what is all this about? When Jesus, do you want to get well? Jesus is asking every single one of us, do you want to get well? Maybe there's some part of your life today, I don't know what. Maybe you have a finance sickness. You invest too much. I've seen people invest on 20 houses. And I said, how many do you need to live in? And in the end, there's no joy to it. Why? Because it's always busy. You don't come to church anymore. You always call me up for prayers. And you say, I can't come because my business is booming. My business is busy. But church is not booming. Church is not busy. Why are you so busy and you belong to the church? It doesn't make sense. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your anger, your loneliness, or your regrets, or any of the bad bosses in life. That you have been struggling there, I don't know for how many years. For many, many, many years. I tell you, I was angry with someone for many, many, many years. Until the day when I met Jesus. When I read the Bible, do not be angry. Don't let the sun go down. That touches me. And I pray to the Lord. I say, God, how can I serve you? How can I be your people if I continue to get angry? Don't know how to forgive this person. I don't know how can I walk away from this. And God prompted me. Pick up your call. Pick up your phone. Get up, pick up your phone, and call. I called that person. And that person was shocked. And she don't know what to say. And she said, oh, I'm busy right now. I pick up the phone. Can you imagine after 5 or 6 years, you never call that person? And now suddenly you pick up the call. You expect a conversation, but there's no conversation. She was not ready. And 2 weeks later, she called me back. I was praying that moment. She called me back. So I was busy there. I knew it was an excuse. But I know it's very hard for her. It's also hard for me too. Church, do you want to get well? Jesus said, get up. Put all the things behind and walk. It's something for you. What is your situation today? What side of your area, what area of your life that needs to be healed? You need to come to Jesus. For those of you who have not come to Jesus, if this is your first time, then you would like to think about coming. I invite you to give us a call. All right, send an email to us. If you can clearly specify you want to talk to me. All right, I'm happy to have a chat with you and pray with you. All right, no obligation. It's your choice. Just like Jesus said, asking a question, do you want to get well? If you do, then get up and pick up the phone. All right, let us pray. Our Father, we just thank you so much. Thank you that for your grace and mercy on us while we are still sinners. You have called us to be your people. And Lord, you chase after us. You are such a mighty God who can save. And nobody name is higher than your name. No name is more powerful than your name. And Father, we just ask to come to you this morning. And if there's anything in our life, anything that is weak or sick, and Father, we do want to get well. We ask that you give us the energy and power, the wisdom, the trust to be able to pick up that mat and to move forward and burn the bridge behind us so that we can continue off forward for no other option. And Lord, sometimes it's just hard to give up what we have. And Lord, I ask that you help us to let go in time, in your timing, for everything for your glory. It doesn't matter how long, whether it's 3 days or 38 days. Father, everything for your glory. You are here and you call us to give you glory and you call us to honor your name. May we go out this week that we can be like what you have done. That my God is working, I am working. as you are working, we become your vessel, we become your instrument to help ourselves. We knowing that, Lord, you are working through us, you're working with us, and to find out who we are and find out what our problem is, so that we ourselves can become our own instrument to allow your work to work in us. And also, if there are people who needed help, that we can be an instrument to you and to that people, for that people, for people who are in need as well. And Lord, I just thank you so much for your powerful word, and thank you that you have given us such a grace that we are able to move forward in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.